Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability will come to order. Will everyone please either silence their phones or turn them off altogether? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc?
Here.
Senator Frerichs?
Here.
Senator Murphy?
Here.
Representative Nekritz? Representative Poe? Representative Riley, Senator Schmidt,
here.
Senator Schaumburg,
present.
Senator Severson,
here.
Senator Trotter,
here.
Representative Tryon.
Here.
We have 10 in attendance.
Thank you. Total of 10 members answering the roll, and a quorum is present. We'll proceed with our business. Before we go to item 2 on the agenda, I want to point out for members of the commission some statistics on the 8 facility closure hearings that we've had from February through April that were expertly compiled by Ben Varner on our staff. From February through April, we have had 8 hearings, have heard 28 hours of testimony. Over 375 witnesses have testified. We have over 6,900 pages of documents, including 1,825 pages of written testimony. Approximately 53,000 petition signatures have been filed with the commission, and a total of 1,849 witness slips were filed at the hearings, too. So regardless of the outcomes on these respective closure motions, I think we can fairly say that everyone has had a very full opportunity to have their case heard, and that we've provided far greater accountability and transparency over this facility closure process than existed just a few years ago when governors were able to unilaterally close a facility with just the swipe of a pen and no public discussion. We'll now move on to the second item on the agenda. Representative Poe.
Now, this is a procedural question. I noticed the agenda, we don't have all the facilities that we actually visited this time. So does that mean we're not going to vote on those today and the votes we've taken in the past will stand?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Unless, you know, the only caveat to that, Representative Poe, would be if there was a motion to reconsider a prior outcome. And that motion would be in order. All right, we'll move down the list. We'll begin first with the TAMS Correctional Center. Is there a motion for the purposes of opening up discussion? Representative Nekritz. Okay. I think the formal language for the motion is everyone's packet. That's okay.
I move to accept the recommendation for closure of the TAMS Correctional Facility pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act. After hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of TAMS Correctional Center in TAMS, Illinois, I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Corrections regarding TAMS Correctional Center.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Trotter. Discussion. Sorry, discussion. Representative Poe.
Yeah, I'll just make one. I'm going to make a few comments and it'll go for all the motions so you don't have to listen to me each time. But as we went around the state and we listened to these hearings, and it seemed like always, I got the feeling that the governor's office some way wanted to blame the legislature a little bit because we're shortening more money and all those kind of things. First of all, I want to point out, I think we're talking about 1,100 jobs here today. We're talking about saving maybe $88 million. And I think there's a couple things, you know, DECO and is some money. I know that there's $1.9 billion over there. $1.4 billion, that's federal money. So that still leaves some money that maybe we could put together because I think their mission is to create and save jobs in Illinois. So what better cause would be using DECO? I think the second thing that I'm not sure the governor's office looked at, but if you look at the gaming bill that's been laid on the table for the last year and a half, And just if we'd have passed that and signed it in law the way it was, if you'd have okayed the Racinos, that would have brought in about $92 million. You can see that would have more than covered this $88 million. And then I'll also ask a question a lot when we're out, especially like on the DD facilities, if how much time we spent out in the community, and wonder if there's any support out there to levy a tax, do anything to keep those facilities open, and I don't think that was done either. So those are the kind of things that I think that we should have been looking at. We ought to have been looking at solutions how we keep these open. We ought to be looking at solutions how we're going to pay for it. And I think as the legislature, we've thrown out a couple ideas here, and I'm sure there's more. So during the day here, I'll be voting no to close all the facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Tryon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, my comments will be directed at all the votes that we make today on secure detention. What we're voting on today isn't just a vote to close a facility. It's a vote on the plan to close a facility. What happens after we close a facility? Where do these individuals go? What happens to our state's buildings when we close these facilities? And ironically, I picked up my packet today for the executive committee, and we're going to hear an executive committee on a bill that would prohibit the construction of a for-profit detainee center for 700 beds in Creed, Illinois. I have for 3 years said there is such a need for secure detention in this country that we shouldn't have any beds that go without somebody in there on a daily census, because we could have a contract with INS in Murfreesboro, we could have a contract with INS in Thompson, and probably have enough detainees to keep those facilities open and even and pay for them by the federal government. I live in a county that has 300 detainees in their jail every day through a contract with U.S. Marshals. Now, if we have that kind of secure detention, why have we not reached out to look at perhaps having a contract with either the U.S. Marshals, INS, or both? And I have asked that question over and over again. It has not happened, and I believe that we have great facilities. And the problem is when somebody gets arrested on an immigration charge, they have to be adjudicated at the point of entry. Every day there are 500 to 1,000 detainees out of the area that have to be brought into the Chicago area to be adjudicated in either Chicago, Rockford, Madison, or Milwaukee. And we have facilities that could accommodate that, as well as facilities that could accommodate the St. Louis federal court as well. So I would hope that part of that plan, we would have saw a repurposing of these buildings, that we had a study where we might have reached out on how we could use our secure detention rather than close it. So I'm going to be voting to keep these open, not because I couldn't close them. I don't like the plan on what we're going to do after we make the closures.
Thank you. Representative Nekritz, then Co-Chair Bellick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And while I did make the motion, I will be voting to support the closure of TAMS. It does seem to me that this is the, and while I don't like, I have a philosophical objection to the supermax concept that we're utilizing at TAMS, it is, as I understand, the newest facility in among the facility, the corrections facilities that we have. And I don't know how much it would cost to repurpose it to, you know, for a more traditional maximum security prison or that, but I would hope that might be something in the future that we could look at, because we've had a terrible workers' compensation issue at Menard and some of the other correctional facilities, and the workers' compensation claims at TAMS are significantly less than at the other facilities. So this may, looking at using this facility, I think should be something we should consider. Thank you.
So you think that's due to the newer locks on the doors?
That's what I understand.
Okay, thank you. Representative Bellick.
Thank you very much. And I'd just like to make a comment building on what the other representatives have said regarding especially the closure of TAMS. In that, I've gone back and forth and back and forth, but when we went to all these hearings throughout the state, both back in the fall and now in the spring, there were three issues that seemed to come up at every single one of them. Was number one, what was the mission of the institution or of the prison itself? Number two, what were the jobs, the impact on the jobs in the community? And three, the economic impact in those communities also. But to me, the main objective was the mission of the institution itself and how this change in the plan would affect that mission and the lives of the people, not only in the disability community, in the mentally ill community, but also in the prison community. A lot of the stories were heart-wrenching. They were very compelling. And my concern with TAMS and several of the other ones is the plan itself, because right off the bat, the plan in TAMS is to take a lot of those people to Menard, which originally they said was overcrowded right now by 300 people. So that, to me, enters into the decision on making the comprehensive plan. So in looking at those, I cannot support the TAMS, but the comprehensive plan needs to be in place that when we make a change like this, a huge change that impacts the people's lives, that it has to be done in the correct way. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Is there any further discussion? There's a, seeing none, there's a motion on the floor to accept the administration's recommendation for closure for TAMS Correctional Center. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc.
No.
Senator Frerichs?
No.
Senator Murphy?
No.
Representative Nekritz?
No.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Trotter? Representative Tryon.
Total of 3 members voting yes, 7 members voting no, none voting present. The motion fails. We'll next move to the Dwight Correctional Center. Is there a motion? Senator Trotter.
I move to accept the recommendation for closure of the Dwight Correctional Center pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act 30 ILCS 608, after hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of the Dwight Correctional Center in Dwight, Illinois. I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendations for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Corrections regarding the Dwight Correctional Center.
Is there a second? Is there a second? Representative Nekritz, moved by Senator Trotter, seconded by Representative Nekritz. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any discussion on the motion regarding Dwight? Representative Belloc.
Thank you very much. I just enter into, again, the mission of Dwight. We spent a lot of time taking a tour there. We spent hours at the hearing. And my main concern with Dwight is that it is the intake center for all women in the state. I'm pretty accurate that that's true. And also that by moving the women out of Dwight, you are moving them in the plan, I think, almost an hour and a half to 2 hours away from their families. I think that that's extremely important in the aftercare of bringing people out of the prisons. And I want to say 60 to 70% of the people in Dwight were from the Cook County area. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Trotter.
In defense of the closure of Dwight, that it is, many of the residents there or prisoners are from the Chicago area. Part of the plan is to move over half of those inmates to a monitoring device so they can spend time integrating themselves or reintegrating themselves back into the community. They can wake up with their children in the morning and take and also put their children to bed. It is a new way in which we monitor those folks, and especially those at Dwight, who have these minor nonviolent offenses. So I think that it's only prudent that we take this position of closing this facility, addressing part of our responsibility and the mandate that we have to do business different here in the state of Illinois. Looking at the $8 billion of debt that we're in, looking at our pension liabilities, and looking at the other things that we must do to get us whole again in the state, This is just a right way of doing that.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the motion pertaining to Dwight? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc?
No.
Senator Frerichs?
No.
Senator Murphy?
No.
Representative Nickritz? Representative Poe? Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Trotter? Representative Tryon?
Total of 3 members voting yes, 7 voting no. The motion fails. Next on the agenda is the Westside Adult Transition Center. Is there a motion? Senator Murphy, good morning. Do you have a motion for us? Page 4.
Pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act, after hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of Westside Adult Transition Center in Chicago, Illinois, I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Corrections regarding Westside Adult Transition Center.
Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Severson. Is there any discussion? Well, I'll use this opportunity then. What I wanted to ask of Senator Murphy and the members of the commission is if we could amend this motion. When I was doing my homework for the hearing, the address of this facility stuck in my memory. So sure enough, I checked our records, and we've actually considered action at this very facility. In 2005, 2006, there was a Department of Human Services office that was at this very same address, and read a very long letter from CMS Director Michael Ruman about detailing the very poor, decrepit condition of the facility. And that was the argument that the Blagojevich administration used to ask a consolidation of DHS offices out of 100 Northwestern. So there was a facility in poor, there was a physical site in poor condition. The administration then went in and, not surprisingly, then went in and entered into a lease and built $1 million worth of build out into that lease for the same location for the Westside ATC, plus originally sought to have the state finance the deal at above market rates. The Procurement Policy Board had them bring the rate down from 9% to 7.5%. So I tell you all this by way of backstory because the terms of the lease are for 10 years. It's about $6.5 million just for 10 years. So I read the lease. The lease had a purchase option scratched out. Now, as it turns out, this is part of a much larger building where there's also an alternative school and a very reputable not-for-profit job training center. So my request, Senator Murphy, is if we could amend your motion. What I'd like to do is I personally support keeping Westside ATC open, but I would like to recommend that we recommend somehow to the administration that they sharpen their pencils and renegotiate the terms of their lease. Because $6.5 million over a 10-year period, we're looking for cost savings, and $6.5 million is, I think, is excessive for the market rates for that segment of the Chicago market.
Well, so is the request to amend the motion to include the reference to renegotiating the lease?
Well,
my inclination would be to leave the motion as it is. If you want to then add into that,
let's do that.
That would be fine.
Let's do that. Okay. Senator Trotter. Okay. Okay. So
how do we need to form
so
the
I
amendment?
Think what happens
can
is...
Can I just say what he said?
Yes.
Have that qualify as an amendment to my motion?
Yeah, but except you recommend, you know what? Not to complicate. You recommended to accept
the. And that's a good question. Is the lease renegotiation just for the ATC portion, or is it for the entire building?
No, for the ATC portion. The
well, it's kind of moot if we're going to close it.
Correct. So
well, I guess I'd rather not amend it.
All right. So if your motion fails, what I'd like to do is then have a separate motion. In the event your motion fails, I hope
sure.
It does. It might not. But in the event your motion fails, I'd like then to have a separate motion that we urge the Central Management Services that we recommend to them that they renegotiate the terms of the contract.
Okay. Well, let's leave this motion then
okay.
The way it is for the time being.
All right. Good. Is there any discussion on Senator Murphy's motion? Yeah, Senator Severson.
Thank you. The question is even with the closure of this, then does the lease continue? If it does, then
there's a 120-day out clause.
There is 120 out. Okay.
Right.
So then,
for me, the original original red flag was the fact that there was no purchase option because we did change the law to require purchase option, so we wouldn't continue to be paying rent more than the cost of buying a building. But we can't buy the whole building because it's just part of a much larger physical space.
In this case, then, if there is a 120-day clause and we know we're paying more rent than we need to for this facility and there's a need for closure, I guess then that's even a bigger reason why it makes sense to close this facility. Obviously, if the facility does not close, then renegotiating it makes sense. But if we have a 120-day out, then that clearly makes I guess more sense to support the closure.
Yeah, I think this is the only property that I can recall that we've actually taken action on the same address twice. Senator Trotter, then Representative Tryon.
So how much time do we still have on this lease? I mean, how much longer?
It's till 2017. It's still 2017, and $1 million was built into the build-out, was built into the lease on the first initial, I want to say on the initial 3 years of the lease. Is there, Representative Tryon?
I have two questions. So the $1 million was built as a leasehold improvement. Was there any credit given or to be given off of the rent for that as part of a contractual arrangement?
No, it was factored into the higher rate.
So we did $1 million leasehold improvement.
We did $1 million leaseholder improvement to the property, built it into the rate, and originally the prior administration had tried to have the state finance that at terms that exceeded the market rate, but that got shot down. So still, the state is financing the $1 million improvements that were done at a rate of 7.5%, which was the market rate at the time the lease was signed.
Okay. And the second question before I make this vote, I just want to clarify, there is other, or at least one other, adult transition facility in the city of Chicago. Is that not correct? Is there a staffer that could answer that question? Somebody from staff?
Could you identify yourself for the record, please? If you hit the button on the side of your mic, on the front?
Right here.
Run it up. You're getting warmer?
There
okay.
You go.
There we go. Brian Gleckler, I'm the Chief Financial Officer with the Department of Corrections. Yes, Representative, North Lawndale ATC is another facility located within the city of Chicago that we have not recommended for closure as part of this budget.
So some of the services that are provided to those individuals who may then go on home detention could be provided out of this other ATC, is that not correct?
They either could be provided out of the other ATC or we could provide them out of a parole office, move those services to an office where individuals that are placed on electronic detention could go to receive those services.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc.
No.
Senator Frerichs.
No.
Senator Murphy.
Yes.
Representative Nekrutz.
Yes.
Representative Poe.
No.
Representative Riley. Senator Schmidt.
Yes.
Senator Schoenberg.
No.
Senator Severson.
Yes.
Senator Trotter.
No.
Representative Tryon.
No.
Total of 5 voting yes, 5 voting no. The motion fails. I'd like to now entertain an alternative motion, that being, I'd like to move that the Department of Central Management Services and the Department of Corrections enter into negotiations to renegotiate the term, both the term and the the terms and cost of the lease for the West Side Adult Transition Center in Chicago. There's a second by Senator Schmidt. Is there any discussion? Is there a leave for attendance roll call?
Yes.
Seeing no objection, leave is granted. A total of 10 members voting yes, none voting no, none voting present, and the motion carries. Hopefully we'll save some money on that. Item 4, Peoria Adult Transition Center. Is there a motion? Is there a motion on Peoria ATC? Senator Trotter.
Yes, pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act 30 ILCS 608, after hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of Peoria Adult Transition Center in Peoria, Illinois, I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Corrections regarding the Peoria Adult Transition Center.
Thank you. Is there a second? I'll second the motion. Is there any discussion? Representative Belloc.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to commend the Department of Corrections and the ATCs. I think a lot of us were not familiar with them at all. I think that one of the main things that they're doing is taking people out, giving them jobs. The Peoria hearing was one of the most moving hearings that I attended, and I think I attended almost all of them. And the people of the town of Peoria, of which I think a lot of the other towns where the ATCs are, have really engaged themselves with these people. So when we asked Department of Corrections how many people would have to go back into prison, they were not able to give us those factors right then. But further on in the hearing, they said probably 40% of the people that they had already taken out of prison, given them 2 years of job training, and really sent them on their way to a better quality of life and to be good citizens within our community, 40% of those people would have to go back to prison, where 4 out of 5 are recidivate. So that entered a lot into the decisions, I think, of some of the us that were at the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc.
No.
Senator Frerichs.
No.
Senator Murphy.
No.
Representative Nekrutz.
No.
Representative Poe.
No.
Representative Riley. Senator Schmidt.
No.
Senator Schoenberg.
No.
Senator Severson.
No.
Senator Trotter.
No.
And Representative Tryon.
No.
Total of 0 members voting yes, 10 members voting no. Motion fails. We'll next move on to the Illinois Youth Center, Joliet. Is there a motion? Senator Murphy. Page 3.
Pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act, after hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of Illinois Youth Center in Joliet, Illinois, I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice regarding Youth Center, Illinois Youth Center, Joliet.
Thank you. Is there a second? I'll second the motion. Is there any discussion? Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is this was a very substantive hearing. I felt like there are some, I think, legitimate concerns raised about the selection of Joliet over other facilities by DOJJ, particularly it being the only maximum security facility. Upon speaking with DOJJ, I am sufficiently comfortable that they have a plan that should be successful for handling maximum security individuals in other facilities. The truth of the matter is DOJJ is now under 900 individuals in their facilities. It is a department that frankly has far too many facilities, and given the budget situation we're in today, we simply cannot justify continuing to keep this many open. Joliet appeared to be a very well-run place. I think they offered a lot to this from a standpoint of professionalism, but we're going to need to take a leap of faith with the administration that they can handle this transition and start to close some of these facilities, particularly in DOJJ, where we are seeing such a decline in numbers. We simply don't have any viable choices other than to make some of these votes, and so I encourage a yes vote.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Belloc?
No.
Senator Frerichs?
No.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Nekritz?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
Yes.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Trotter?
No.
And Representative Tryon?
Yes.
Total of 5 members voting yes, 5 members voting no. The motion fails. Item 6, the Murray Developmental Center. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Nekritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act, 30 ILCS 608, after hearing testimony regarding the proposed closure of Warren G. Murray Developmental Center in Centralia, Illinois, I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Human Services regarding Warren G. Murray Developmental Center.
Thank you. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Trotter. Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Frerichs.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be voting no on this particular closure. It's not a vote to say that we should not be closing our state institutions. I would support a movement towards a community-based, towards more community-based housing. It's something I want to see the administration doing.
Excuse me, Senator Frerichs, can I interrupt you for a moment?
Sure.
The Senate rules prohibit, unless you're a member of the media, Senate rules prohibit taking still photos or videos. I see a number of people who are doing just that. So I want to encourage you to stop and to not do it any further. Thank you. Please proceed. Nice.
And so I don't want this vote to be interpreted as a position on my part to the governor's office not to continue with a plan. I just want to see a better plan, and I'm not convinced that this is the right facility to close right now. So I'll be voting no.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah.
Representative Nekritz, then Co-Chair Belloc.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think that with regard to these developmental centers, these are the most vulnerable populations we serve in the state, and I think it's clear that everybody in the commission wants to do the best we can for these Illinoisans. And as Representative Belloc mentioned, we heard a lot of compelling testimony, and there's a lot of focus on doing what is right for the folks in the state-operated developmental centers. But as we make these decisions, I think we have to, as the commission members, have to keep in mind that there are other Illinoisans with families and loved ones who are also impacted by the decisions we make, and they include, I think, the 27,000 developmentally disabled citizens in our state that are currently receiving no services or inadequate services due, in part, to our lack of funding for community-based care and our over-reliance on institutional care. Again, there's 27,000 people, developmentally disabled Illinois residents, currently receiving no services or inadequate services. And those 27,000 people are identified on our prioritization of urgency for of need for services, our PUNS list, which is our waiting list. And while those families were not at the hearings, you know, I do hear from those folks in my district, and their stories are every bit as compelling. I mean, of one family where the mother stayed with a physically abusive husband for over 30 years because she couldn't get services for her son. She couldn't leave him in that situation. I mean, and so, you know, so for over 30 years she stayed in an abusive situation. Families with autistic children who don't sleep at night because their autistic child doesn't sleep at night, or their autistic child puts their fist through a wall in a very danger, creating a lot of danger in the home and wreaking havoc in those families. Those families can't get services right now because of the way we are allocating dollars in this state. So it isn't, my heart goes out to anyone who's in this situation, but we need to, I think, be looking at best practices in this country, following what every other state has done, and that is rebalancing our system so that we are not over-reliant on institutional care. This is one way that we can make this happen and start addressing the needs of those 27,000 developmentally disabled individuals in the state of Illinois who also need our support.
Thank you. Co-Chair Belloc.
Thank you very much. And I agree with what Representative Nekras just said. And being at the Murray hearing was very compelling. I think we were there almost 6.5 or 7 hours. And I agree, there are thousands of people on the PUNS list waiting to receive services. My problem with this at this time is, and I will quote Mr. Casey again, is that I don't feel that a lot of this can be done within the short period of time that the governor has given us right now. And I know that we are trying to make cuts, but I just don't feel that at this time a lot of the people, probably one-third could, or two-thirds could be come out of an institution right there or the facility that we were visiting, several of the facilities. But at this time, and I know they've assured us that they will take everybody out one by one, but if you heard the families that gave their testimony there, and some of them that have been in 5 and 6 group homes that were thrown out of those group homes, one that was put in a prison, had the mind of a 3-year-old and was put in a prison for a couple of years till guards begged them to take that child out of the prison and put them in Murray. There were several stories like that. I think that we have to look at the comprehensive plan. I am full in favor of the rebalancing, but I think that we need the plan that lasts longer so we can make sure that we do what the administration says and take each individual out one by one. I don't think we've written a letter to the governor asking for on a piece of paper where the people are going to go right now. We're within a month or 2 months of where those people are supposed to go. So those are some of the concerns. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? I'd like to make a comment on this. In the case of, as somebody who supports administration's efforts to achieve rebalancing, I think it should not be lost on members of the commission that in case of Murray as well as with Jacksonville, that the administration has come a great distance since it initially proposed some of these closures in providing a far more detailed multi-year series of costs associated with what this transition would mean. The administration has provided an unprecedented amount of financial data on how they would seek to transition out of these state facilities over a course of several years. And you remember from the onset, we heard discussion of what the average cost per client would be in order to provide a community-based setting. We've come much, the administration, to their credit, has come much, much further than that, and I think it ought to be acknowledged. It may not be where some feel sufficiently comfortable, but I have not seen the level of detail in numbers for each facility, developmental center, that's been shared by this administration or any other for that matter. So that much credit I think they're due. And I the other observation that I think is warranted here is that in the course of these hearings, the situation here at Centralia is reminiscent of situation at Singer and Rockford, in that there's potential which exists for the acquisition of all or part of the campus by a private not-for-profit consortium, where the state would actually be in a position to help facilitate the transition by helping that consortium that group of profit providers access the capital markets in order to acquire all or part of the campus. I know you've all received some documentation from the city of Centralia within the last couple days, sketching out a proposal to do that. I think regardless of how this vote goes, they ought to move ahead with that. And the state, I want to say again that the state, through the Illinois Finance Authority, is in a position to help providers transit if in fact they want to save cottages, they want to save a portion of the campus and maintain it within the community. Those services can indeed be maintained, though the structure and ownership of the real estate and of the venue would be different, and obviously the relationship with the collective bargaining unit would be different. But that would be something that the community—that's an option that if the community wanted to exercise, they'd certainly be in a position to do so. So, as I said before, regardless of how this particular vote goes, I think in the case of Singer and in the case of Murray, that more detailed thought be given on how providers in the community can come together in a consortium to maintain a facility, and the state provide access to the capital markets to help that consortium acquire all or part of the site. Representative Bellick.
Thank you. And I would agree with that. And we put that idea forward to the administration, and especially what Senator Schoenberg was saying regarding Singer, because there were other groups there. And I would include in that not just private groups, but local governmental groups. Because if you're, say, in the case of Singer, a lot of that mental health population was from particularly that county, which did not have their own tax or other mental health facility, whereas throughout the state, a lot of other counties do provide some taxing or something for their mentally ill. So I think that not only should we look at movement towards public-private, but also some of the other local governments within those areas. Thank you.
Thank you. So any further discussion? Senator Severson.
Since we brought up those concepts and bringing up the issue of Singer, the problem is that these are issues that are long-term solutions, not ones that can be decided in the next 30 days as we try to work on this this budget. It's not a simplified type issue. We're also talking about, in cases like Singer, there's still a need to deal with the higher acuity or dealing with forensics that aren't going to be handled by a private sector local facility. I guess the concern with that, like some of these others, is the decision to close some of these, possibly close some of these facilities, those that are more modern, those that are less costly, at the same time keeping older, more expensive facilities open, also has a an air of review that has to take place, that if we are in fact looking for what is the most cost effective, that we should be taking into consideration this, these decisions, the actual cost of maintaining and operating these facilities, whether they're DD or MI or even corrections facilities, that we should not have the politics involved in it, but look at what is really the most cost effective from a maintenance standpoint as well in these decisions. But clearly issues like facilities like Singer are going to take time to work this through. Closing the facility then really ends those discussions and doesn't allow that to incubate in the proper amount of time to get this done. So, but I appreciate the opportunity to comment on the Singer issue.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Bellock?
No.
Senator Frerichs?
No.
Senator Murphy?
No.
Representative Nekritz?
No.
Representative Poe?
No.
Representative Riley? Senator Schmidt?
No.
Senator Schoenberg?
Aye.
Senator Severson?
No.
Senator Trotter? And Representative Tryon?
No.
Total of 3 members voting yes, none voting, 7 voting no, sorry, and none voting present. The motion fails. The 7th and final item is the DCFS. Skokie office at 8140 North McCormick Boulevard. The DCFS has requested to end that lease agreement and move those employees to a state-owned building, also in the northern suburbs, at 1755 Lake Cook Road in Deerfield, or about 15 miles away. Is there a motion? Representative Bellock.
Pursuant to the State Facility Closure Act, after reviewing the proposed closure of Skokie DCFS office in Skokie, Illinois, I move that the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability accept the recommendation for closure submitted by the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services regarding the Skokie DCFS office.
Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Nekritz. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there leave for the attendance roll call? Seeing no objection, leave is granted. A total of 10 members voting yes, none voting no, none voting no, none voting present. The motion carries. No, I'm sorry. No. 10-0. The 10-0. The motion carries. Want to announce to everybody, item 3, that we're potentially going to meet for our annual review of the State Employees Group Insurance Program on Monday, May 21st, so hold that day on your calendar. Seeing no further business before the commission, we now stand adjourned.